Thank you so much for all the singing and just being here. I thank you for being in your place tonight. Thank you for your prayers. This has been another rough day. Monday was very rough, and then yesterday was a little better. Now today has been about like Monday. And so I covet your prayers tonight that I try to do what God would have me to do. Amen. And last night, some of you couldn't hear me. And so I'll try to speak up. But when I maybe my friends up there can bump me up a little bit. Amen. Where I won't have to do it from here because it hurts. And let me call your attention to the book of Psalms again. We summon things up. We want to keep things in your mind. We don't do the traditional 7 or 8 different messages. Most churches can't remember what the pastor preached on Sunday morning, on Sunday night. And so I don't do the traditional 8 message thing. It's useless. And I'm glad God taught me that. If a man feels led to do that, okay. But I challenge the leading evangelists of our day. I know many of them. And I challenge them to ask the church what they preached on Sunday morning on Monday night. And some of them have said, "Pastor, Brother Beckham, you're absolutely right. We didn't think he was right." And they couldn't tell me. And I said, "Well, are you still preaching 8 different messages? Or are you just preaching 1 message all week long?" I'll tell you, by the end of the week, if you just preach 1 theme all week long, they'll get it. And even the children will be able to tell you what you preach. That's why we preach, where people can get it. I don't preach to just preach a message. Amen. I want you to get it. I want you to get it in your heart. Matter of fact, more important, I want to get it. And So I have to go over it over and over. When I read a book, I read each page twice. And when I get done, I have read the book twice. And I've done that ever since I was a young man. And so when I read, I want to get it. Amen. I don't want to just be wasting my time reading a book. I want to get it. I want to get it in my heart. So Psalm 66:18 is a most important verse. And if I can just stress the importance of Psalm 66:18, and I say this very lovingly. I don't say this cocky or in a bad way. But our churches are full of sin. Amen. And as long as our churches are full of sin, they'll never be a praying church. They'll never be a worshiping church. They'll just be a people that meets on Sunday and Wednesday. And I don't think, by knowing you now for these days, I think your desire is to be a praying church, a worshiping church, a soul winning church, a preaching church. And I believe that I'm right on that. If I didn't believe that, I would tell you. Of course, with a smile on my face and love in my heart. But I would let you know real quick that you wasn't those things. Because see, we got to acknowledge some things. You have to acknowledge them, and I have to acknowledge. And what do we have to acknowledge? that we are sinners. We may be saved sinners, but we are still sinners. And I run up on some, I was preaching in North Carolina some years ago, and I was talking about people being perfect, and there was no perfect people on earth. And this guy, pastor, was sitting on the second row right in front of me, and he stood up, and he said, "Brother Beckham, I'm perfect." "All right. Okay. You are perfect?" He said, "Yes, sir. I live a perfect life." I said, "Okie dokie. You can," I wanted to say, "you can repent later for lying. Because there is no perfect people in churches today." And but after I got into the Word of God, he found out he wasn't perfect. And I, you know, chatted with him on the way out a little bit. But nobody's in this room perfect. We all have sin in our lives. And we all have to love the Lord enough to get it out. Get it out. Get washed up. Get cleaned up. Why, preacher? Where we can pray. Prayer is the most important thing into your life. And if you can't pray, how in the world are you going to grow? If you can't pray, how can you have that relationship with God? You can't. And so we got to acknowledge that. That's the reason why we do the testimony time at the end of the service. I didn't learn that in a seminary or a Bible college. I didn't learn that through church. I learned that by studying the Great Awakenings. That's what they did. They heard the preacher preach a little, and they let the Holy Ghost show them their sin, and they acknowledged it and got it out of their life. And when they did, revival went around the world. All five of those great awakenings. People just got right with God, and God sent a great awakening. And millions of people got saved. And it was because people got cleaned up. And so we give you an opportunity every night to give a testimony, not a testimony, but just a few words of what God has done for you in the preaching. In the preaching. I told Pastor last night, I said, I'm not concerned about what took place in their life 50 years ago or 20 years ago, whatever I said. I was hurting. And so I don't really remember exactly what I said to you. But I tell you this, I'm not concerned about what took place in your life in 1950 or even 2 weeks ago. I'm concerned, and God is concerned, is what is taking place in your life right now, tonight. Amen. And we do it again tonight, but take 30 seconds, because I don't know, after preaching 4 hours tonight, I don't know if I'm going to be able to stand here and listen to you babble, amen, and mutter. And so, but we're going to give you 30 seconds, and if you take more, I'm going to say, shh, that's enough. That's enough, okay? Is that agreeable? Amen, I love you. And you love me? All right. And so I just felt led to say that because, I'm going to preach 4 hours. And then, you know, is that okay? I don't think so. I will be up here 4 hours. Psalm 66:18. Keep your seats, please. Matter of fact, I might even take a seat. I might pull the chair up here and take a seat myself tonight. But listen to what it says. If I If I, Benny Beckham, regard iniquity in my heart. David is declaring this. He said, the Lord will not hear me. He said, I'm David. And if I declare, if I regard iniquity, if I cherish it, if I'm unwilling to repent of it, if I'm stubborn, if I'm hard-hearted, and I just will not repent of my iniquity, I'm going to pay the consequence. God is not going to hear me. And He's not going to bless me. And I'm going to lose out on the blessings of God. I'm going to lose out on the peace of God. I'm going to lose out on the joy of God. I'm going to lose out on a lot of things that I could have if I would just acknowledge and repent. And I know we're living in a time where repentance is not a popular doctrine. But I'll tell you, it's a biblical doctrine. And without repentance, you cannot be born again. And without repentance, you cannot live a victorious life. You can't have a victorious life in Jesus unless you repent of your sins on a daily basis. Because we sin on a daily basis. Even foolish faults, the psalmist says, is sin. And how many of us think foolish things? Amen. And so we all are sinners. And then when I turn to Isaiah 59, and I'm going to say some things I haven't said yet on that, but I want you to turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah is a great prophet, and he dealt with some hard-headed people. Israel was a hard-headed group of people, and they thought that they were okay because of, I guess, rituals and all kinds of stuff. But folks, let me tell you, you can walk around with your King James Bible. You can walk around looking good and smelling good. But unless you have a prayer life and that relationship with God, all the other things are vanities of vanities. And we need to get back. We need to get back to this book. You know why people are so critical of God? You know why they blame God with everything? Well, it's God's fault, Brother Beckham, that I'm in the shape I'm in. No, it's not God's fault. Amen. If you're having a hard time, and God has spoken to you about those hard times, and you haven't done what God told you, it's your fault. You know, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the peace." Well, that puts the responsibility upon us. We are to let. God is not going to come and just kick our door of free will in and make us live for Him. He didn't do that with salvation, and He's not going to do that as we get consecrated and sold out to God. God's not going to just come in and kick our door in and say, I'm gonna make you live for me. Oh no. He wants us to live for Him because we love Him. Amen. And a lot of folks, they don't love God like they should. They say they do. They say they do. They say they have the Bible. They say they believe the Bible. They believe in church. They believe in tithing. They believe in soul winning. They believe all these things. But John 14:21, if you'll turn there. I haven't read this verse yet. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. John 14 and verse 21. I get so tired of hearing people talk about how they love God. go outdoor knocking. Used to go outdoor knocking and you know, just everybody I met, preacher loves God. Everybody's going to heaven. It just makes me sick because everybody's not going to heaven, and everybody's not right with God. Amen. And all evangelists are not right with God. And sometimes I get ornery and I'm not right with God. Amen. And you say, not you, Brother Beckham. You're always right with God. Oh, poo. I'm not always right with God. I make mistakes. I get ornery sometimes and say things I shouldn't say and do things. How about you? I'm acknowledging some stuff. How about you? You're there too, aren't you? But let me show you something. And I believe I said it last night. Quit telling people you love God if you're not loving Him. Amen. Quit telling Him you're a member of this church if you don't love God, if you're not doing what the Bible tells you to do. John 14, verse 21, he that hath my commandments. How many of you have a commandment? Not the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about the commandments. Amen. The statutes, the precepts of the Word of God. I have 42 copies of the Bible. Boy, tooty-toot-toot to me. Boy, I have 42 Bibles. That makes me a super-duper Christian. No, it don't. No, it don't. All it makes me is an owner of 42 Bibles. Amen. I have red ones. I have black ones. I have brown ones. Dr. Don Green, every time I go to his church, he wants to give me a Bible. And he signs the Bible. And I said, Dr. Green, you gave me a Bible last year. Well, I'm going to give you another one this year. I think this one is a little different. I go back the next year. He gives me another Bible. I said, Dr. Green, I have Bibles. You have given me Bibles every year. Yeah, I'm going to give you another one. I think you need it. And I'm thinking, okay. But it doesn't make me any more spiritual. It says if he that hath my commandments and what? Tell me, church, what? What does it say? And keepeth them. Well, what it is about those that has the commandments and keepeth them? It says here, he it is that loveth me. Now, can we look at it this way? If you have the commandments and you keep them, you love God, right? All right. Now, if you have the commandments and don't keep them, I just take it that you don't love God. Amen. And so you can sit there and you can go through the motions and you smile at me and you're a very friendly church and thank you, because it would be like pulling our teeth with me this week if y'all wasn't friendly. Amen. The way I feel right now, I'm glad you're smiling at me. Amen. If you were sitting out there like you've been sucking lemons all day today, I think I would just shut my Bible and go to the room and pull my covers over my head and go to sleep. Amen. I'm glad you're smiling. But do you love God, folks? Do you love God? You're not one of these people that, like Isaiah dealt with here, are you? You're not in that class, are you? These people points their finger at God. Well, it's God's fault that I don't have the peace of God. It's God's fault that I don't love like I should. It's God's fault that I don't follow the evangelist's leadership and testimony time. I just had to put that in there. Amen. And it's just not, you know. Amen. Well, Isaiah looked at him and he said this. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. It's not God's fault. I've said it over and over. It's not God's fault. It's your fault. It's my fault. If I don't have the things in my life that I need to have and the things God wants me to have, it's not God's fault. It's not Jeanette's fault. It's not Julia's fault. It's not any of my other children's fault. It's not my preacher friend's fault. It's not any church I preach in's fault. It is Benny Lee Beckham's fault. Amen. Yeah. Isaiah, he nailed them to the wall. He said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Amen. It's you. It's not God. Hello? Hello? Are you understanding me? Am I speaking clearly? Are you hearing me? They really got me pumped up. And can you hear me, brother? Can you hear me good and loud and clear? Amen. Everybody. If I have to, I'll come back there and sit by you. I want you to get this. Amen. And then Oseas said, it's time to break up that fallow ground. It's time to seek God. And I can't agree anymore. It's time to repent. I mean, everybody, not just deacons and Sunday school teachers and pastors, but it's time for every lay person, every child, every teenager. It's just time to get back on the altar, dust the dust off the altar, get it cleaned up, and get back there and lay your head on the altar and lay your heart on the altar and lay your spirit and soul on the altar and say, God, I'm repenting of my sins. I want you to clean me up. Amen. And boy, we can reach the world if we just do that kind of stuff. And then Psalms 51, verse 7, Proverbs 28, verse 13, another verse I have been pounding away. And I just feel, you'll know, you won't ever forget this meeting. You'll know these verses. And that's all I want you to know. I want you to know what God has laid upon Brother Beckham's heart to bring to you as a church. And hear it again, some more, good, important verses. Listen to this: he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. So there's people in churches across America that is covering their sin. They're not going to prosper, folks. And by the way, if you reap it, you're going to sow it. You're not going to get by with it. Even the darkness is light unto God, Psalms 139. And you know, preachers, they think they can have affairs with people and not, but God has a way to discover, to uncover that sin. You know, one just left his phone on the pulpit, didn't even think about it. Son found it and had to turn his own dad into the law. You know, things like that across the nation. You cannot, if you reap sin, you're gonna sow it. Just like if I go out there and plant a pear tree, I'm going to reap pears. If I plant an apple tree, I'm going to get apples. If I plant an orange tree, I'm going to get oranges. And if you sow sin, you're going to reap sin. And you're going to reap a lot more chastisement. All types of chastisement is going to be in your heart and in your life. It might be your wife. That God touches to get to you. It might be your children. It might be all kinds of stuff. But he's going, if you're saved, he's gonna convict you. Amen. And you can sit there if you want to and just go through the motions. But I'm telling you, it's not going to be good. You got to repent. God keeps laying that upon my heart to tell you. He says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And used to, they would have these meetings and hundreds and thousands of people walk down the aisle, fall upon their face. Nowadays, people can preach and they just sit there in the pew like, well, that was pretty good. Just hurry up and shut up and let me go home type attitude in most churches. Amen. And we need when the invitation is given, we need to fall upon our face if we can and say, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. But see, we confess it, but we lay it on the altar, but when we get up, we pick it up and take it back with us. We need to lay it on the altar, give it to God, and then we are to forsake it. Don't go back to it. Don't continue to do it. You're going to give it to God? Give it to God. Amen? And then Jeremiah 3 and verse 13, only acknowledge thy iniquity, only acknowledge thy iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God. And I stood there for 7 weeks and heard people for hours confess sin there in York, Pennsylvania. Still to this day, people are confessing sin. And I'm talking about, listen, church, I'm not talking about little minor stuff. I'm talking about having affairs. I'm talking about marriage problems of the deepest kind. I'm talking about 25 men eaten up with pornography of all types, homosexual pornography, all types. And these men standing in front of 600 people confessing it publicly. You know, they meant business with God. They meant business with God. And our churches are full of that junk. Amen. Our colleges, it's the number one sin in Bible colleges today. The number one sin. Because you don't have to go to a bookstore to buy them anymore. If you have a cell phone, you hit a button and there it is. Amen. And it's filthiness. It's wicked. It will rob you of a lot of things. Mess up your marriage too. And if you get addicted to it as young people, before you get married, it's going to mess you up. Amen. And so you need to get cleaned up with this stuff. And grown men, youth pastors, deacons, all kinds of people standing and admitting in front of hundreds of people. That brings revival, amen. That takes that cockiness out of you. It takes that critical spirit out of you when you acknowledge, yeah, that's me. That's me. Men my age. They ought to know better than that stuff. Amen. Anybody that lives 69 years, 70 years, 75 years should know better. Amen. Anybody that's been in church over a year should know better. Amen. And if the Holy Ghost is inside of you, He'll convict you that you know better. One man said, I've never been convicted of it. I said, you lost as a goose. Amen. You're not in the family of God. If you can do that kind of, and I know sin is sin, but if you can get in that type of sin and not get whipped by God, according to 1 John, there's something wrong. Amen. There's something wrong. And look at that stuff week in, week out. Amen. And so, there's the Bible part, but here's the question side of it. What are we going to do with these questions? Because they are packed full of Scripture. I'm in the process of putting Scripture with all these questions. Have we forgiven everyone? Colossians chapter 3, 8 through 10. Yeah. It tells you to forgive everyone. It tells you, since you have been risen with Christ, that you are to put off all of these. And all of these are malice and anger and clamor and all that stuff. We are not to be wearing the old man's clothes after we get saved. Amen. And do we get angry? Do we get angry? Good night. Do we get angry? We all get angry. Anybody in this room that don't get angry? Somebody's going to stand one night. They're going to stand. They're going to tell me, I never get angry. Pooh, sit down. sit down. You know you get angry. Amen. Get angry at the silliest little things, don't we? Huh? We get so mad sometimes. We go out. In the old days, they had these old porches, and the old dogs would sit on the porch. And I've heard people talk about going out on the porch, the old dog sitting there, hadn't hurt no one, hadn't done not one thing to nobody, just laying on the porch, and they get mad in the house and walk out on the porch and kick the dog out in the yard, and the poor thing hadn't done one thing. It's craziness. And then the poor old dog gets up, shakes himself off, do his old head, and then walks back up on the porch and licks his owner by the hand. Like, I've forgiven you. Just don't do it again because I'll bite you. Amen? Yeah. And what is that book you ordered me? How to Pray After You Kick the Dog. Now that's a book. I got it. I have it in my library. How to Pray After You Kick the Dog. I couldn't believe there's a book like that, but there's a book. I have it. And matter of fact, it's a good book on prayer. So you love dog lovers, it will tell you, if you ever have to kick your dog, it will tell you how to pray. Amen. Is there any feelings of jealousy in your heart? Jealousy will tear up your home. Jealousy will mess up this church too. Yeah, I've seen people get mad and they'll come up to me. And I had one in one of my churches. He got mad because I went out to eat supper with a member and didn't invite him to go. And he got all puffed up. Sat there like a bullfrog on Sunday morning and wouldn't say nothing to no one. I knew why he was mad. I started to take the guy out Sunday dinner again without inviting that guy. He needed to be taught some lessons. Amen? Yeah, that's silliness. And do we get impatient? Do we get irritated? Are we always sweet and calm and unruffled under all circumstances? Don't even tell me that stuff. Amen? You know you're not always calm and sweet. Some of you might have got a little peeved at the preacher last night. Sure got out of here fast. Amen. I looked around and he was gone. Sunday night. You hanging around, you talk and talk and talk. I thought you would never leave. But last night, by the time I walked over and I got my notebook and then I looked around, poof, you were gone. I'm thinking, my goodness alive. But you'll get over that stuff if you love God. Amen. Is there any pride in our hearts? Are we puffed up? Do we think a great deal of our own position and attainments? Proverbs 11:2, Proverbs 29:23, Proverbs 11:2. I got that down there twice. Pride. Kill you. It will kill you, church. Yeah. I was in Virginia back in 2002, 2003, somewhere in there. And preaching on this line because I preach more on getting ready to pray than I do prayer. Churches are not ready to pray. I preach more on getting ready to pray. Churches are full of everything Well, I had this Sunday school teacher, and boy, he was a good teacher. Man, he was. He could teach the Bible, and so I always pick out someone to pick on. I haven't done that this week. I need to do that. Tomorrow night's last night. I feel like picking on somebody, you know. And so usually I find someone on Sunday morning and pick on all during the week. Well, I picked this guy up because he was a good Sunday school teacher and he was a chairman of the deacon board. Yeah. So if you can't pick on a Sunday school teacher and a chairman of the deacon board, who can you pick on? Huh? And so, boy, there he is sitting on the front row, and I was preaching on being puffed up. And I don't know if I can do this or not. But I walked down, and I'm not gonna kick and do all that stuff like I normally do. But I kicked right at his head, and I punched at him, I spit all over him, I did all kind of stuff. I really got in excited about it. I called him everything but something nice. I said, "You hate the preacher. You're mad with the preacher. You're da 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 da." And you know, I didn't know. I just let him have it for about, I don't know, a long time. And I would go back in the pulpit and I would turn around and I'd let him have it again. "You're mad at the preacher. You're angry with the preacher. Why are you mad at the preacher? Da 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 da." Well, come to find out, this guy in 1963 stood in a line in the U.S. Army and received his Green Beret from John F. Kennedy. John F. Kennedy is the ones that brought the Green Berets into operation. And this guy was one of the first Green Berets, A-team Green Beret. He wasn't just connected to it as a desk clerk or something. But this guy went through the training. He could rip your heart out and all that stuff the songs talk about. You know, pull it out before you could even die and show it to you. But anyway, I went back to the close out the service, went back there to the preacher, and the preacher stood there and he said, "Brother Beckham, how did you know?" I said, "How did I know what? How did you know? That is my number one enemy. He's mad at me. He is angry at me. Boy, he has given me all kind of trouble." I said, "You mean the Green Beret guy? The guy that been trained to go to your heart. The one that can just kill you with a finger. You mean that guy?" He said, "Yeah, that's that. Yeah. I'm talking about that guy." He said, "Shh, here he comes." He walked up behind me. I turned around, and he looked the part. He had the chisel face. He had the piercing eyes. He had the X-ray eyes. He had everything. He had the big old thick hands, little short fingers. He had everything. He had everything that a Green Beret would have. And I turned around, and my eyeball was looking him in his navel. "Hello, I want to talk to you, preacher." Well, when a man talks to you like that, you got to talk back like that. "Okay, what you want to talk about?" And I just knew he was going to let me. I could just feel him grabbing me by my little bald head and picking me up and dangling me. I could just imagine all kinds of things because he was mad and he's been mad at the preacher for months, and here I come in spitting on him and kicking him and punching at him. And by the way, he didn't even bat his eyes. He didn't do nothing. He just stood there and looked at me. I'm glad he's in heaven today. Amen. He's in heaven. Hallelujah. So he, Green Beret, hard. No telling what he has seen in his career. But he said, "Preacher, I'm sorry. I got things right with God tonight." Looked his preacher in the eyes and said, "I'm sorry. I've given you trouble. I'll make up for it." And from that night until he got cancer and died, he was the best member in that church. He loved his preacher. He didn't talk about the preacher no more. Didn't talk about church people no more. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Boy. But he was a puffed up guy. Have we been dishonest? Is our business open and above reproach? Do we give a yard for a yard and a pound for a pound? Are we honest in our statements? I've had people to stand and publicly confess that they've been robbing RAS for years. A lady in North Carolina did that. Had a pastor to turn himself into the law. He broke some hunting laws. And he said, "Preacher, I haven't had the power of God in my preaching since I broke the law. And I've gotten right with God in this meeting. And I'm going to go home and call the game and fish people and turn myself in." And he did. The lady called IRS and turned herself in. Could have went to prison. That's real revival. That's real. That's real stuff there. Have we been gossiping about people? Do we slander the character of others? Are we tell barriers? Are we busybodies? Do we criticize unlovingly, harshly, severely? Are we always finding fault and looking for flaws in others? See, if you have to build, have to tear down someone to make yourself look good, you're in a sad condition. Amen. We ought to build up people instead of tearing people down. You need to be careful with that stuff. Do we rob God? Have we stolen time that belongs to Him? Has our money been withheld? These are good, honest questions. Amen. Things that we need to get out of our lives. And I'll deal with the last 6, 7 tomorrow night. And what are we going to do with this stuff? Huh? This is important stuff. God just wants us to love Him. He loves us. And He just wants us to love Him. That's all He wants. That's all He wants. He wants me to love Him. If I'm going to tell people I'm an evangelist and I'm a Christian and I'm in the family of God, He wants me to live like one of His children. He doesn't want me to bring reproach upon Him. And He doesn't want you to. So let's stand, please. Julia will come and play for us. And that gives everybody in the church, that gives the piano player in the church an opportunity to go to the altar and to pray. That And that's the reason why I asked Julia to play so she can help the song leader. But you let this, you let the words of Christ seep down into your heart tonight, okay? And if you have sin in your life, good night. Don't think you're the only one with sin in your life. We all got besetting sins in our lives. We all need to say, God, forgive us. Amen. Yeah.